One of the greatest treasures in the Lutheran Church is the Lutheran Confessions, but it has not always been that way. From June 1st to the 3rd, Concordia University Chicago is hosting a seminar on the role of the confessional documents in the 19th century confessional revival. We invite you to come and learn about the recovery of the Lutheran Confessions through lectures and workshops, along with opportunities for prayer and fellowship. For more information, please visit cuchicago.edu/confessionalismseminar.
The Annunciation hymn, the angel Gabriel. So he comes, the angel, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. And this young woman says, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Why does 16th century reformer Martin Luther focus here on Mary's faith? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the Annunciation of our Lord, celebrated by the Church on the 25th of March, Dr. James Lee, Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Lee, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be here.
Let's start with the basics here. Why is it necessary that Jesus be born of a virgin?
I think there are three principal reasons for this. First, we see this as a fulfillment of the biblical prophecy, namely the passage from Isaiah 7:14. Secondly, from the early Christian church in this perspective, the early Christian church and many others following her witness see the virgin birth as necessary because it is the means by which Mary conceives Jesus without original sin. Some within our modern age don't like the view that original sin is perpetuated through conception, but that has been a standard interpretation from the early Christian church onward. Finally, the virginal conception witnesses to the utter unique character of this event. Yes, you know, within the scriptures, there were conceptual miracles within the Old Testament, and even right prior to this, Elizabeth and John, but none of them are like what occurs with Mary. God is doing something utterly new, unique, unparalleled with the conception of Jesus. Jesus is the stone that is cut by no human hand that we see in Daniel, the second chapter.
Why do we call this observation the Annunciation?
Because in the way this miracle transpires within the biblical narrative, specifically through Gabriel's announcement, through his proclamation of the word of God to Mary.
That name always reminds me of 16th century reformer Martin Luther's observation when he said Mary conceived through the ear.
Absolutely, absolutely. This highlights the word and the preached nature, the proclamation of it. It's beautiful.
Where do we find this account of the Annunciation?
The first chapter of Luke, nestled between a similar account that transpires between Zechariah and Gabriel, and then immediately following is Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth, who is with child.
So you mentioned the Isaiah passage. What Old Testament passages inform the church's celebration of the Annunciation?
Well, there's a whole pattern of these conception miracles that we find scattered throughout the Old Testament. Most famously, we probably think of Sarah, and then we would think of Rachel. But for the Annunciation, perhaps the most relevant Old Testament occurrences, first, the occurrence of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, and this we see in 1 Samuel. And when you look at the song of Hannah and compare it to Mary's song, you see there is so much parallel. And then second is also the announcement of the birth of Samson in Judges 13 to Manoah and Manoah's wife.
How should we understand the angel's words, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women.
These are beautiful words that Gabriel speaks to Mary. These words underscore the gratuity of God's actions towards Mary and through Mary towards humanity. There is nothing that registers with us when we read this that makes Mary stand out. There's nothing about her, except one thing perhaps, her faith. Secondly, these words, the Lord is with you. Already there, Gabriel's words point towards the utterly unique role that Mary will play in the economy of salvation. While all of the faithful are indwelt by God through faith, it is only Mary from whom God has chosen to become man. It is only from Mary that God has chosen to take on flesh, to unite himself to our human nature. And the Lord is with her in a distinct way from every other creature. Finally, how can Mary not be blessed? These last words taken, she of all women has been chosen to become the mother of God by giving birth to Jesus, the Son of God. How can she not be blessed of all women?
So go into a little more detail. What does it mean that Mary had found favor with God?
What we see here is that it does not denote a work or an ethnic lineage even or anything else, but that it highlights, and Luther does a great job of this, the only thing that stands out is two things, and maybe this will come back to later, is Mary's humility and her faith. And even the language of the text has found favor. It's this passive character. Mary hasn't done anything. Mary hasn't achieved anything. It's not a status. It's not a work. But God, as we see throughout the scriptures, graces people for reasons that we do not know. It speaks to the gratuity of God's choice and his election.
The lineage of David is mentioned twice in the Annunciation account. Why is that important?
This would be incredibly important to any first century Jew, for this is the fulfillment of God's promise to David of a Davidic dynasty, that the offspring from David's body would have his kingdom established forever. We see this in 2 Samuel, that one of David's sons would reign upon the throne of David into the ages of ages.
What should we make of the mention of the house of Jacob?
I see this as a clear connection of the Abrahamic promise that has then passed to Isaac, passed to Jacob. Jacob, again, who he and his sons go down to Egypt and are then rescued from Egypt. So from this Abrahamic promise, it is connected to the Davidic promise that Jesus is the son of David, who will establish and reign over the true Israel.
Why does the angel tell Mary about Elizabeth, her cousin?
This speaks to the order of God's economy of salvation, for the in utero son of Elizabeth, also conceived in a miraculous manner, is the forerunner of Mary's son, who will go before the Christ to prepare his way, even to the point of preparing the way by witnessing with his own blood shed when he was beheaded.
What should we make of Mary's response? Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.
What we remember Mary for the most, and Luther speaks to this beautifully, is her faith and humility. And we see this here underscored so well that she trusts, right? The early church sees Mary as the second Eve, where the first Eve doubted the word of God. Mary, in this encounter with God's word and the strangeness of this revelation, she says, let it be to me according to your word. This is the highest expression of faith, pure trust that God is who he said he is and she will trust his word even though it supersedes everything she knows. She will trust, follow, and believe that God is the God of his promise.
Dr. James Lee is our guest. We're talking about the Annunciation of Our Lord. We'll get some more insights from the 16th century reformer Luther next. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Annunciation of Our Lord. Dr. James Lee is our guest, Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Chicago. In observation of the Annunciation of Our Lord tomorrow, March 25th, Lutheran Public Radio will be streaming sacred Christmas music. Listen at lutheranpublicradio.org, Amazon Alexa, Google Home, Apple HomePod, or the LPR mobile app. Dr. Lee, you had mentioned Luther a moment ago. What other kind of insights do we get from Luther or the early church fathers on the Annunciation?
Luther sees the Annunciation as the proclamation and fulfillment of God's acts of grace and mercy. He underscores this by showing that God's grace towards Mary was wholly unearned. Luther, as I mentioned, praises Mary in this narrative as this model of faith and humility. I've got two great quotes from Luther. Luther writes, "Mary believes both that God will do through her the work that the angel has mentioned, and also that this child has an eternal empire and will save her and the whole world from the realm of the devil and from death. And through such faith alone is she blessed and freed from sin, and not through the work of bringing the Son of God into the world. This was certainly a special grace and majesty, as she herself states in the Magnificat." And then a second quote, "It is appropriate to praise Mary, not only for the faith common to all Christians, that they will be saved, the belief that God will rescue them through his promised seed from the curse and from sin and take them to grace and make them blessed, but also because of the faith that she has been given a special promise that applies to her person alone, that she will bear Christ, the Son of God. Mary believes this promise and does not let herself be led astray even though she could not know how this was to happen. Such faith was hers alone, in that we cannot be the same as her. Because faith must always be preceded by God's word, we would follow her example in this and also hold ourselves steadily to God's word. What greater things can we say about Mary than what Luther has stated here?
What do we hear from the Church Fathers on the Annunciation?
The Church Fathers see this as how God recapitulates history in salvation and in Christ, and that Mary is seen as the second Eve. And where the first Eve was disobedient, the second Eve, Mary, is obedient, and her obedience is demonstrated in her faith, in her not doubting God's word as we see in the first Eve, but in her absolute, complete trust that in God's word. And that Luther then follows this similarly, seeing Mary as the model of grace, the model of mercy, the exemplar, I think we could say, of faith.
Talk about some of the hymns that mark the Annunciation.
Many of these hymns are also hymns that we sing during Advent and Christmas, because this is also when we encounter this reading in the church's lectionary. So the angel Gabriel from heaven came, but also appropriate is the hymnic version of the Magnificat, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." But also incredibly appropriate are these Advent Christmas hymns like "Savior of the Nations Come," "The Only Son from Heaven," "From East to West." All of these hymns highlight the role that Mary is given by God in the economy of salvation.
How then does the church best observe the Annunciation?
The church, we believe in the renewal of time by Christ through his church. So we should actually commemorate this feast with the divine service or a prayer office. Through prayer, through song, through chant, through thanksgiving, through the preaching of God's word and the reception of the true body and blood of Christ, Gabriel preached God's word to Mary, so it is fitting for us to preach God's word now. The Son, Jesus, conceived in Mary's womb, is the fruit of life, so it's fitting for us to partake of Christ's life-giving body and blood and so give thanks to God in this way.
Finally, what can you tell us about a confessionalism seminar, the role of the confessional documents? That's June 1st through the 3rd at Concordia University, Chicago.
Well, as many of your listeners know, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod was born from the confessional revival of the 19th century. My colleague, Jacob Corzine, and I, in discussing the 19th century, wanted to have an opportunity for us to dive into our past and dive into these great thinkers and great texts. And we thought, what more fitting way for us to do this than by studying in the confessional revival their understanding of the confessions, to contextualize this against what preceded, and we might see the loss of the confessions in the 18th century, and then what role were the confessions given in the 19th century? And for us to approach this in a historical contextual lens and hopefully better to appreciate the witness and confession of the Book of Concord.
Find out more about Confessionalism Seminar, the role of the confessional documents, June 1st through the 3rd at Concordia University, Chicago, on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. James Lee is Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Lee, thank you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part this week by Luther Academy. Luther Academy provides ongoing theological education for confessional Lutheran church bodies around the world. Learn more about their work at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our Nicene Creed series with Pastor Will Wheaton. We'll find out why Walt Heyer says the sex change that he had 40 years ago was a scam, and we'll have a follow-up interview with Dr. Joel Bierman on the Fifth Commandment and lawful lethal force. I'm Todd Wilkin. Go to church Sunday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in Him, our true rest, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear His word and receive His gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.